And all right. I feel like we need to do one of those cheers that gets everybody motivated or something, because everybody seems a little dead in here. And say what now? Sing to us. Yeah, we, only once in a blue moon, right? Once in a blue moon. Well, maybe not quite that often. I mean, not that rare. But anyway, what I want to talk about today is really related to the death of Ruby. And that's the fragility of life. And it's not just Ruby's death, but of course in the last few weeks now, we've suffered two deaths. Lillian Farooz, who passed away a few weeks ago after a fairly prolonged sickness. And then, of course, Ruby Falkowitz, who suddenly died this past week. And it's rough. And the big question is, you know, that comes to my mind for many of us that face these things is, how do we deal with stuff like this? You know, how do you deal with death? Because it's not easy to deal with. And over the years, in our congregation, we've had a share of deaths. In fact, just to refresh your memory, for those who've been here, those who haven't been here that long would know this, but, you know, a number of years ago, we had a two-month-old baby, Sarah Komenars, who passed away because she had a heart malady, and that was devastating for the family. Then, of course, we had David Sale, who was in his 20s when he passed away. He was one of the youth leaders. He died of leukemia. And then even a few years ago, of course, we had Fred, who was older, in his 70s, although in great health, but he also had a sudden death. It was flu-related in this particular case. And in every case, death, dealing with death, is very tough. And it causes questions to arise in all of our minds, particularly those who are, you know, the person who's dying, if it's not suddenly, they ask the question, you know, why me? Or the families and close friends, why us? Why is this happening? It shouldn't happen this way. Some have even wondered over the year that we as a congregation seem to have a disproportionate share of deaths, you know, compared to the size of our congregation, although that's not really the case. I remember the year that the young girl died, the baby, Sarah Komenars, and we were in the hospital as she was passing away, and I ran into a pastor who happened to know and just was just kind of majorly bummed out about what was happening, and he just said, this is the 12th funeral that I've had to conduct this year. And that was just in his own congregation. So, you know, it's not we were necessarily disproportionate. It's just the reality of life. And even the Bible. See, a lot of times we just think, well, if we just follow biblical practices, there, you know, we wouldn't have to face premature death. But that's not true. Because even in the Bible we see it with some of the great people of God. Rachel, who was one of the matriarchs of the faith. She died during childbirth when she was giving birth to Benjamin. And of course, since she was the most beloved wife of Jacob. And so it does happen. The reality is that death is part of life. And there's nothing in the scriptures that promises continued physical presence on this earth. You know, it's as if we think we're just kind of immune. But it's not the case. In fact, the absolute opposite is true, because the scripture says this: it's appointed for all men to die once, and then comes the judgment. So everybody is going to die at some point in time. But I remember saying this at Lillian's funeral a few weeks ago, that the most difficult part of death is not for the person dying, but it's for the survivors. That's what's really tough, because one moment they're there, and another moment they're gone. And even if the person has been sick for a time, they still are there, and then they're gone, and that's it. But sudden deaths are sometimes the most difficult to address. And that's, of course, how I heard about Ruby in this particular case. Of course, when we heard about her, it was stunning that it even happened to somebody because she wasn't that old. One moment, we remember her laughing and talking, particularly in a loud voice, as we all know Ruby did. And then in the next second, she's gone. It was just completely traumatic. And even more traumatic than for me and for the people that, you know, are around us in the congregation, but for the family members. And of course, I began to ask the question, why? Why does this happen? And so forth. And what I did was, I felt the Lord lead me to the book of Job. And for those of you that remember, in Job, the first chapter, Job goes through a series of calamities. One seems to get worse than the other. And the most devastating calamity that Job faces is the death of his children. They're suddenly killed in a storm, all of them. And as the scripture reports, as once Job heard of what happened to his children, the scripture says that he tore his robe, shaved his head, which were rites of mourning during that period. And then the most fascinating thing is what he did next. The scripture says that he fell to the ground and he worshiped the Lord. It's amazing. No blame, didn't blame God, didn't blame other people, wasn't guilty, didn't feel guilty because he failed to do something at some point in time to try to prevent these deaths, but rather he simply worshiped the Lord. And then the next statement is read at all Jewish funerals. And this is what he says. Adonai Natan, the Lord gives. Adonai Lakach, the Lord takes away. Behi Shem Adonai Mivorach, may the name of the Lord be blessed. When I read that that passage, as I was struggling through this, the outcome of Ruby's death, it gave me a completely different perspective on what had happened and on death generally speaking. See, what I realized the Lord was saying here is that God had brought Ruby and Lillian, and for that matter, each of you, into my life and into one another's lives. In other words, when it says that he gave these people, he gives them to us. He gives each of these people to us, into our lives. People that have come across in our lives, people that we are in relationship with, it's not accidental. It's something that the Lord has destined. Believe it or not, even problem people God has destined to bring into our lives for a certain purpose, right? God gave them. He didn't have to give them, but he gave them into our lives. And what happens is this, is we become so self-absorbed in life. We get so busy with the day-to-day activities that what ends up happening is ultimately we begin to take other people for granted. You know, it's interesting. When I get into premarital counseling with couples, I'm involved in another couple now who don't come here, and I was just talking to them the other day about this subject because I always cover this subject. I said, "Look, you have a strong desire for one another right now. You know, you have strong emotions and romantic feelings for the other, but over time, it's not always going to be there. And what will happen if you're not careful is you begin to take the other person for granted." It's a real tragedy. And if you continue to take a person that you're close to for granted, it causes irreparable damage sometimes for the couples and for the families. Because what happens is people no longer feel appreciated, validated, and then they feel that maybe they can find it elsewhere, and that's the end of the marriage, and so forth. What happens is this. When we undergo suffering or loss or death, it causes us to take stock at our lives and to relook at the priorities that we have in our own lives. It's so important in life for us to be able to get centered and to have a strong foundation because storms are going to come. The scripture says it clearly. Yeshua says that the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. It doesn't matter. Storms are going to come. And so what happens is if we get centered in the Lord, we'll be more strengthened for the storms when they come. This is one of the purposes of Shabbat. One of the great purposes of Shabbat is a place where you can come, you can take stock of your life, you can reevaluate where you are, you can fill yourself up with the presence of the Lord. I talked at Rosh Hashanah Eve, about it's time to change your tires, or have you changed your tires lately? But I mentioned, and that's at, you know, each year during the high holidays, but what I mentioned is that Shabbat is when we fill our tires up to be able to have a more comfortable ride during the week. And that's so true, is that we need to use these opportunities to get a hold of God so that we're centered in our lives so that when things do come, we're not completely knocked off of place. When the Lord is center in our life, you know what happens? We do not take other people for granted. I'm going to say that again. When God is centered in your life, you will not take other people for granted because you will realize that every single person that you have a relationship with is a gift of God to you. This is what the Apostle John says. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And yet so often there's this sense of, you know, well, I'm just going to say it just like this. If you are taking people for granted, you do not love God. God is not number one in your life. You say, but I pray and I, you know, I come regularly to services and I try to turn things over to the Lord. I'm going to say it again. If you take people for granted, if you mistreat people, God is not number one in your life. You don't love God, because if you love God, you won't mistreat people. That's just the way it is. Death or loss that comes into our lives, regardless of whether God is centered, will be painful. But if the Lord is central in our lives when we hit loss or death, it still enables us to worship the Lord, because we realize that the person was a gift from God. It's not something that we just take for granted. And we're able to thank God for that person, no matter what, even though that we've lost them during this period. And it's also important to worship the Lord during tragedy, because this is where we can receive God's comfort. If we don't worship Him, we can't receive the comfort that only He can give when there's a deep loss. Those who've suffered and lost something can experience God in ways that other people can't. There's a depth in God that can be reached by those with deep losses that those without loss cannot find. Sometimes we wonder why it is that people who suffer so immensely, but yet they're so close to God, it's because they've used that suffering to turn to God to receive His comfort, and they experience things about God that others could not without going through the suffering itself. People without God, who do not have the Lord as centered in their lives and who have suffered losses, often become embittered and hardened by the loss. But those who know the Lord, even with losses, become more compassionate, more useful for the things of God, because we're transformed by God's presence in times of desperate need. That's what happens. There is a softness that comes to people when they turn to God after tragedy. But there's hardness to people when they turn away, or they don't turn to God during times of tragedy, because there has to be a way to cope with tragedy. Either you're going to receive the love of God and thereby be changed, or you're going to become hardened and deal with it that way. Those are the only choices. Sudden death shows the fragility of life. And I want to say that I want to raise two points, kind of in a general closing here, about being prepared, I guess, for sudden death. And I want to begin to turn. I want to turn to the first passage of Scripture, and it's Luke chapter 13. How to be prepared for sudden death. Luke chapter 13. This is Yeshua speaking about a situation. He says this. Now there were some present at that time who told Yeshua about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Yeshua answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will also perish." What is Yeshua's message here? It's the message of Shuva, or to repent. And right now, we are in the season of Teshuva, or repentance. In fact, today is Shabbat Shuva, as has already been said. And the reason it's called this is because the Haftorah reading today, which comes from Hosea chapter 14, begins with the phrase Shuva Yisrael, which goes on to say in Hosea 14, it says, "Return or repent, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord." Now, what is Yeshua really talking about in the passage in Luke about these various events? This is what he's basically saying. He's saying, look, calamities happen. Tragedies happen. And they can happen suddenly. I mean, consider 9/11. The thousands of people that were in the Twin Towers that day, the last thing not only that they, but almost anybody in the world could imagine was that airplanes would strike those towers suddenly and those towers would suddenly fall. That's just the way it was. Thousands perished. And what it really, you know what it says to us, lessons like that? It says that we've got to be ready to meet the Lord. Bottom line, that's what it really says. We've got to be ready to meet the Lord at any moment. I remember years ago, I was asked to give a Passover demonstration in a private school. And so as I was explaining the meaning of Passover to these students, these were all pretty much high school students, as I was explaining the meaning of Passover, just as I finished up, explained it, connected it to, you know, Yeshua and so forth, all of a sudden, something came over me. I don't know what it was. And I suddenly turned to the class and I said, you know, I wasn't prepared to say this, but I'm telling you this now. I don't know why, but God wants me to tell you this message. You need to get right with God, every one of you. You've got to be prepared to be right with God and to turn your life over to the Lord. There. Now, it was way out of line. It was kind of out of line, I have to admit. It was a bit out of line. And for those of you that know me, I'm not a particularly rash person. You know, I do kind of do things, you know, deliberate and so forth. And so for me to do something like that, it would take a lot. The next day, I read in the newspaper that one of the students in that school was shot and killed right outside the Richmond Coliseum, and who happened to be in that auditorium that day. See, the Lord saw it happening, and he needed the message to get ready, to be ready and be prepared to meet with the Lord. He needed that man to read, or that boy to receive that message, as terrible as the situation was. The fragility of life shows us that we always have to be ready to meet God. The scripture says again, all are appointed to die once, and then comes the judgment. We don't know when we're going to die. As much as we don't want to deal with that, we don't know when it's going to happen. Number two, the second point I want to talk about being prepared, you know, for sudden death is Matthew chapter 5. It's a passage in Matthew. This is Yeshua's comments again. He says this, Matthew 5, 23. He says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Folks, we cannot allow relationships to suffer and deteriorate, especially close ones. Because the last thing that you and I want is to have unresolved conflicts with somebody who suddenly dies, just like that. And suddenly you're left with the last encounter that I had with this person was a fight, was a conflict, was a mean thing that was said, or whatever the case may be. It's a tragedy. And this is why we can't take people for granted in life. The scripture says the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Honestly, we don't know when. You know, we really don't know when. And if something is unresolved and the person dies that's unresolved with, for any of you that have ever gone through it, I know you know, it can be haunting. You can feel incredible guilt because things were not resolved before they passed on. You know, it's so interesting. This is what Tara told me last night. I was over at their house. It's very moving. I try not to cry, but I'll do my best. But for those of you that know, when Paul and Tara got married, her parents refused to come to the wedding because we're Messianic, and her parents are traditional Jews. And it was very hard. We did the wedding here. And then about, things changed when Aiden was born and we had the Bris. And that's where things really changed. But what really started the process towards complete healing, and I didn't know this, and Tara told me this last night, was that shortly after the Bris, she wrote a letter to her parents, thanking them for who they were, apologizing for the way she'd treated them, you know, for all these various years and so forth. Her parents were completely blown away. They called her up on the phone, weeping and crying. And that's when this incredible healing started with them. After that, they would come here to our services. They joined with us on Messianic Jewish tours in Israel, both our national organization and our own congregation. They were involved in the congregational life and so forth. And Tara said last night, she said, I thank God that I wrote that letter. Because she said, everything between us when she passed away was just great. And I have no regrets at all. I miss my mom, but I have no regrets at all. Thank God, man. What a way to go. You know, what a way to be able to pass on with that kind of thing. It was very moving, you know, when she shared that with me. And I would challenge you to do the best you can to not allow relationships to suffer unresolved conflicts and so forth. Finally, we have to understand this, that a person's end on this earth is not necessarily here. In other words, the person's end of their life is not here on earth. Human life is not temporary life. It's not life that just lasts 70 or 80 years. It lasts for good. And why do I say this? Because the scripture says this, a very well-known passage from the New Testament. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. It's interesting that here John says this, the Lord gives, Yeshua, the Lord takes away, Yeshua, in order for us to have continued life. That's why he gave him. Death brings life, folks, and we need to be prepared if death comes around our door at all costs. First, we need to be prepared. Are we ready to meet with the Lord? And number two, do we have unresolved conflicts with people that would be haunting if they suddenly died in the situation? Let's just pray. Lord, first, I just want to thank you for Ruby. I want to thank you that you gave her, you know, to us. Of course, not only to Tara and her family, to Ray, her husband, but to us as well. Lord, what a great privilege over these last 3 years to become such close friends with this family, oh Lord. And Father, we just commit her into your hands now, Lord. We believe that she's with you, Lord. And we're so thankful that, Lord, all relationships were resolved, all conflicts were resolved when she went on, Lord God, so that we could be thankful to you and worship you even in her passing, Lord God. And Father, we certainly ask that you would comfort those who mourn, both here and particularly in her family today. But Lord, this whole event causes us to reflect upon our lives, Lord. Where are we? Are we ready to meet you if something suddenly were to happen, Lord? And Father, I just pray right now for each and every person that we can turn to you at this moment and say, Lord, I want to be in a right place with you. I want to know where I'm going, oh God. I want to know that I'm going to be with you, Lord. And I know, Father, the only way I can really know that is through Yeshua, because, Lord, you gave him and then you took him away, Lord God, so that we might have life, oh Lord. And Father, we just turn now to you, receiving all that Yeshua did for us, Lord, so that our sins would be wiped away, Lord God, and that we would have a permanent relationship with you, Lord, so that we have no fear of dying, oh God. And Father, I also want to pray for each of us here, Lord, who have relationships that have been strained, and I being one of them, oh God. And Father, I just pray, Lord, help us to resolve these conflicts as quickly as possible, Lord, before a tragedy happens or a death occurs, Lord, it would be able to ruin this. Lord, help us to be determined, Lord, to get things resolved, Lord God, so that we don't go to the grave with unresolved conflicts, oh Lord God. Father, we thank you for this period, oh Lord. Just renew us during these days, and in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. And let me close with the Aaronic benediction and go from there. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha Yareh Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha Yisaranai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, through Yeshua the Messiah. We all said, Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Remember, tomorrow night is Yom Kippur, 7 o'clock, and then we have services again in the Monday morning and all day there. And so we will hopefully see you then. We have the bookstore is open, and also we have Oneg downstairs. If you need prayer, please feel free to come forward after the service. Thank you.